morning, because it's a particular message I want to share this morning, and it's going to be called Seeded for Growth. That's seeded for growth, not seated. If you're seated, you've got it wrong, but we're all seated at the minute. We can't help that. But you know, I want to talk about the fact of seed this morning, why we've got it, why the Lord gave it to us, what's his plan and purpose for it. And I want to take us first this morning to Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 12. I love this book of Zechariah. I just think it's amazing what the Lord brings out of it, especially chapter 4 and the end part of chapter 3. There's just so much packed into those chapters. And so Zechariah 8 verse 12, it says, "For there will be peace for the seed." Come on, we all want seed that's peaceful, so it'll actually get to where it needs to go. "And then the vine will yield its fruit, the land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due."
Come on.
"And I will cause," now listen to this, "I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things." Come on, that's a promise, that's a declaration you can make over yourself this morning, that the Lord has promised that the remnant, that's us, of his people, will inherit all of these things. So that's good news. How about that for a start? Yeah, you want to talk about seed? Let's take that one and sow it into your spirit right now, because it's powerful. And, you know, the whole way through the Bible, from the ABC, right from Genesis, you can see very clearly that the Lord has had a plan and a purpose in all of this, in our lives, in the whole of creation. He has had his hand on it, and this is no mistake. You are here by no mistake. You are here by a design plan that God put in place way back at the very start. So you can take comfort in that. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 undergirds this. And it says there, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." Come on. So there's not going to be any end to it. It's going to be his government that will rule and reign, and it will be with his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, and to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord, his zeal, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Come on. That's why the battle is the Lord's. He fights, and it's his zeal. He is so excited for us. He is so behind us. He has this all planned out, and he knows exactly where he's going. Yeah. And we will follow him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, in Genesis 8:22, we'll go back into Genesis in another minute right at the start, but this is important here. "While the earth remains," now the remaining earth is going to be here for quite a while, "seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Come on. So we are in an eternal kingdom that is here now, but we will graduate from here into eternity once the Lord Jesus Christ returns, if we don't go ourselves before then. You know, but we want everybody to stay around, because we want you don't want to miss what's coming. You don't want to miss this next season. There's thousands upon thousands of people, like millions, that would have loved to have been alive in this season to witness and behold and be part of what the Lord is about to do. Hosea 10 and verse 12. Hosea 10 verse 12. "So with a view to righteousness, to his righteous ways, reap in accordance with kindness." Yeah, you want to have that kindness and the love of the Father all around you. "Break up your fallow ground." So prepare the ground. That takes work, that takes labor. But no farmer doesn't sow seed without preparing the land to take the seed. "For it is time to seek the Lord." Such an important phrase. This is the season. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. Seek the kingdom first, and then all these things will be added to you. And it says there at the very last line of that verse, "until he comes to rain righteousness on you." Now, come on, that's good news, because if you have a seed, then the very thing you need is rain. And the Lord says here he's going to actually rain on us with his righteousness. Come on. It's a principle that has been set in place. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes out to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Come on. Who wants to bring your bag of sheaves with you?
Yeah.
It's the toil and labor part that a lot of us don't like. But unless you toil and labor, you don't get the fruit of what you've sowed into. So you've got a seed in you that you want to use, and you want to sow it into good ground, and you don't want to be carrying it around the bag all the time, because your seed is meant to produce. You are meant to produce. You know, so every farmer that I know of goes out with the intent to sow because he expects to harvest.
Yes.
He doesn't throw seed away in the hope that there'll be harvest, but he will actually have faith to believe that the harvest will come because he has diligently put the seed into the ground.
Yeah.
And he knows, provided no storm or hurricane comes through, that is going to produce a crop that he can harvest and he can bring it in. So everything we need for has been given to us right from day one, right back from Genesis. And if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at this. This is important. And verse 11 of chapter 1. So it's 1:1:1. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. Come on. And fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind, and God saw that it was good. So right back at the very start in chapter 1, God planned for seed. God allowed for seed, not only just to be in the ground, but also in the trees that would produce it to carry it on and take it further. Now let's take a wee look at chapter 2, Genesis, and verse 5. This takes it to another level here. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. So God had already set it in place in chapter 1, but didn't have the waterfall on it until later. He prepared it. Everything that was needed was in the ground already, ready to be watered, ready to sprout. Even down to Adam and Eve, and you know, when it says there that, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable to him. Now, out of Adam, he took the rib. He took like a seed out of Adam and produced the woman, Eve. And so God is in this design mode right back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, preparing for us what is to come. So in that realm then, where God provides and God has given, if you believe that you have a seed inside of you, then that has been there from day one. Man was designed to reprocreate, yes, and to actually produce children with Eve. That was in God's design. The seed that he passed on was to give birth to children, but I believe that there was a seed also in Adam, because he was made in the image of God. He was made for eternity. He was made to live, and he was made to accomplish the plans of God, even down to naming every single animal on the earth. Come on. God's plan has been perfect all along, and it's going to get even better because we are now part of it. We're alive, we're in it, and it's going to get better from here on in.
Amen.
Amen. So, if we believe that the Bible says that man is made in the image of God, well, then there is actually seed in us that was placed there. It's like inherited in us. It's part of our DNA. You know, because the Bible says also that the world is crying out for the sons of God to arise. So even the very nature, it says the trees will cry out, the stones will cry out, because it's in us to find out who we are and to become the sons of God, the rightful owners, the rightful heirs to the throne of God, who actually are going to do exploits and take this kingdom forward, because the kingdom was always designed with growth, with longevity, with an eternity all over it. So there's others that have labored, we said a little bit earlier, but others that have gone before us who are now in the kingdom of heaven, and they have gone through life, they have labored, they have prayed, they have sowed in tears, you know, and listen to this verse in John 4, 35 to 38. Do ye not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Come on, they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So the saints that are before us in heaven have labored, have been saturating the ground. Their prayers has been backing us for years. Now we get to reap off the back of their sowing, and we also get to sow as well. So it's a positive thing. We're in a generation that is going to see exponential things of the Lord come to pass. We're going to see some of the most miraculous signs and wonders, signs in the skies, everything that will point to Jesus Christ and will point to glorifying his name and lifting him up, because at one point every knee will bow and submit and come under the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. So, little key here before we go forward is to keep your feet on the ground. And 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth.
Come on.
So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Come on. We don't want to get to the point where we start taking the glory away from the Lord God Almighty.
Yes.
It's him that's in charge of it all. We just get to walk with him in his plans and his purposes to actually get the seed out into our lives, into the nations, and into the countryside in which we live. So you want to be abiding in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All John 17, 16, 17 is all about abiding, that we all abide in each other together. And we form this tight-knit group. And it's like that Ecclesiastes 4, 9, that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so God has these treasures hidden in Scripture, and they're not actually hidden. If you seek his kingdom, you'll find them, and you'll uncover them, and you'll get the richness of what they actually mean to us today. And so 1 John 3 and verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because his seed abides in him. His being Jesus, his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. The price was paid on the cross. Salvation won the victory. Death has no more sting. And so his blood washed us clean, washed us white as snow. So if you've got sin in your life, then keeping a short account with God is a good thing, because you don't want to be caught out when the Lord returns feeling that shame or guilt. In fact, getting rid of it gives the devil a kick in the teeth, because he has lost the battle, and he has, you know, the shame and guilt that you have felt with that sin that you've had in your life has been washed away again. And so get rid of it, have a short account with God, and run with God and abide with him so you do not go off into error anymore. You know, because God has made a provision, God has made the way, and we just need to walk in his ways and stay true and faithful to him. I want to look at the mustard seed next of all. The mustard seed was made to the supply. Now, I don't know whether you can see this properly or not, but...
Oh!
I'll
get you one.
That was the mustard seed that's just gone rolling on the floor.
Yellow or black?
I don't mind. Either one. So that's a black one. I'll not find it down that dark grey carpet. So anyway, we'll show you a seed in a minute, just to replicate the size of it. And so Matthew 13 and 31 and 32 refers to this, but in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19 is the scripture I want to highlight this morning. And so he was saying, can you see that? That's it. That's how small your mustard seed is. Luke 13, 18 to 19. So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in his branches. So the whole point of a mustard seed is it's so tiny, but what happens when it's in the ground and when it gets watered, it bursts forth. It creates this whole tree, which then feeds birds, feeds the rest, and seed from that tree scatters and gets blown by the wind into other areas where it will plant again, be watered again, and it will come forth out of the ground again. Now, the key point I want to highlight in this verse is that it says, and a man took and threw into his own garden. So where do we start?
At home.
At home. We start in our Jerusalem first, then we go out to the outer countryside, and then we go to the nations from there. So you have a seed that's in you that the Lord has given to you, and you're to use it where you are, around your neighborhood, around the very people that you rub shoulders with each day. It's in you for others. God has given you a mustard seed, and you have to take the faith and believe that what God is doing through you is having an impact on their lives, pure and simply because I believe that every single human being that God created is that's alive on the earth today bears a seed inside of them, part of their DNA that the Lord has in there right from day one in Genesis. You know, so Mark 4 and verse 1 to 20 is the actual, not read it, but it's the actual account of Jesus talking about the parable of the sower going out to sow the seed and what happens. And at the very end of verse 20 it says, and those are the ones of whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. We want the 100-fold. We want to go after those that the Lord has prepared, that have accepted the seed into the ground and are ready for the water of the Spirit to fall upon them. Amen.
Amen.
So Matthew 17, verse 20, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Come on. What a statement. Mm-hmm. Can you get your head wrapped around that? Mm-hmm. Because it's difficult to. Because it's basically saying that huge big mountain that you see out there, if you speak to it and command it to move, the Lord's telling us through his word that does not lie, that it is a possibility that we command it to move, it will move. So there's the faith that the Lord requires of us to look at what mountain is in front of us, to look what mountain is around our life and go after our breakthrough.
Amen.
And command that mountain to be gone in Jesus' name, either to be completely leveled flat or to go and hang out somewhere else. That's what the Lord is telling you. That's the authority that he has given you. That's the seed of faith, that little tiny mustard seed. That's all you need, folks. You don't need more. That's your starter point. And like from that, if you use it, he gives you more. You know, so your seed is what you've got. It's for you. It's for your garden. It's for not for your neighbor's garden. It's for your garden. So you plant out from you. You don't go to Africa straight away and say, well, I've got a mission heart to Africa, unless you first have sowed and have reaped in your own nation, in your own town, in your own locality. You cannot hide. You're not meant to hide. The Bible says that we have got a lamp and it's not meant to be hidden under a bushel. It was designed and prepared for God for you to be set on a hilltop. So it is seen from all around. So there is no hiding in the kingdom of God.
Arise and shine.
Yeah, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Yes,
you are meant to be light carriers. You are meant to be seen. And so
seed bears seed.
Seed bears seeds. John 12, verse 23 and 25. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loses his life loses it. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to the life eternal. So God has actually been very clear to us here that the seed he gives us is a seed that's meant to die. No seed will ever germinate when you have a bag of them all dried and in your hand. It's only until the seed gets into the ground that you can't see it anymore. It is dead to self. This is the ways of the kingdom, that you go dead to yourself. It's the same with baptism, that you go into the water as a significant sign that you have died to yourself and you're coming back out again as the new person in Jesus Christ your Lord. This seed is the same thing. Your seed, your life, has to be at the point where you are prepared to die to self, to surrender to Jesus, and to allow you and yourself to die, so that you come back up again and you are alive to God, and that the things of life that you hold dear are no longer dear to you, because the one thing in your life is you want to live for the Father. You want to produce fruit. You want a reward when you go to be with him in eternity. And that's why we sow the seeds. That's why we are sowers and reapers. We get a gift given to us, and we got the gift to use. It's not a gift to throw in a bag full of seed and keeping yourself in the cupboard, you know, because that's not what this was designed for. This seed was designed to reproduce, and out of the reproduction, more comes. And that whole discipleship program that the Lord and the Bible speaks about is that starting point. You start with the one, you disciple. They go and disciple, find someone else, lead them to Jesus, they disciple. And this whole blossoming effect that God has planned takes place and starts to happen around us.
So it's like we were seed planted on the earth.
Yeah.
And when the Holy Spirit came to us, we had to die so that we could be reborn and transformed.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Come on.
Awesome.
So there's a couple of principles I want to share with you for sowing. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, in that verse it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully."
Come on.
Now there's a principle there, if ever there was one. If you want a harvest, you go for it. You don't hold back. You get your seed out there, you go planting it, you get it in the ground, and you get your water on it, and expect in faith that something is coming out of the ground. You know, so if you sow sparingly, well then you're being so cautious that you're not actually really, you're not in faith for the harvest. So you stop that. That's not biblical. The biblical principle here is that you sow an abundant sowing because you expect to reap a harvest. Not just one, but you expect a harvest. A harvest is a multitude, because the Bible says that the fields are white on to harvest. They're already there. Now, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now, he is the Lord. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Come on. This is the design that we're talking about. Right from Genesis, we are part of the plans of God for this end time scenario, for the billion soul harvest and beyond that is in our midst and is coming. You know, so you got to get this sowed into your spirit, this into your DNA, that what's in you is in you for increase. Mm-hmm. What's in you has been placed there by your Father, and he gives everything to back up his plan for you for this next season. He's not interested in it slacking. He has no program in his thought pattern to go back or retreat. His whole kingdom design and purpose and plan is to increase and to move forward. There is no decrease in the kingdom of God. There is no hidden ways. It's out there and it's up front. It's the light again on the top of the hill. It's designed to be seen. You are designed to be seen. You know, 1 Corinthians, let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 36. Verse 36 is, "You fool." Now don't take this personally. Let me explain this a bit more. You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So it's just enforcing the other scripture here. You can read the passage in front of that, the piece in front of that. Will it help you explain why he was calling them you fool? But basically what I want to point out here is that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You know, so, and then it goes on to say, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. You know, and then verse 30, if you jump up to verse 38, verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Now listen to what this explains about the Lord Jesus here. So it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body.
Amen.
If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Come on.
So also as it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. So the transition happens in the death process, that you die to yourself and you come back eternal. You know, so you're awarded for our life on here because we have said yes and accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've been awarded that gift of eternal life. It's like his sacrifice, his coming out of the grave and beating death and taking the sting of death away from us and cancelling out the sin in our lives. If we say yes to him, then that's where the Lord goes up to be with the Father. And he actually oversees us for us sowing the seed and reaping the harvest that's around us. You know, so take a look at that. 1 Corinthians, in that chapter 15, there is a lot in that passage, and I won't have time to go into it this morning, but get it out during the week. Read it, study it, and look at it, because it will tell you so much, and your eyes will get open to so much about you and who you are. Amen?
So we are the reproduction of Jesus.
Yes.
We are his produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're called to produce.
We are. We are called to be the producers of Jesus.
Come on.
Yeah. So flowing in the Holy Spirit involves an impartation, as it was in Acts 2. So in Acts 2, we all know the scripture that the building shook and that the fire of the Lord came down and rested on them, mm-hmm. and that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was like a birthing again of the gifts of the Spirit. All that the Lord wanted to give to the church for this season happened right there. That was when the Lord dispensed and sent the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit, to come and be with us, to dwell in us, to keep us connected with the Father, to keep us on track, to speak to us, to pour into our lives that voice from the Lord, that corrective spirit that keeps us on track and keeps us in the flow, that tells us about people we're going to meet that day, and actually gives us the word to speak to them when we start to speak. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it comes with all of the gifts for all of us. So you want to actually acknowledge the Holy Spirit and say, thank you, Lord, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, and it's going to water my seed. And watch what happens. So declare that over yourselves. And Acts 11, verse 14, you look at the whole scenario of Cornelius, a Roman who had this encounter with God and heard he had to send to get them to come from Joppa to his house. And they send and they come. But beforehand, Acts 11. Go to Acts 11. I think this is worth reading here. Just so you get the actual emphasis. So this guy's an unbeliever, but has a belief in God. He hasn't met Jesus yet, but he has a belief in God. And so, verse 11. Yeah, and he told at that moment three men, verse 11, in chapter 11, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house, and he reported to us how, this is Cornelius, how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who's Peter, who is called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. So there you go. This guy had this encounter with an angel of the Lord that instructed him and told him where to go and find Simon Peter. And he did that, and because of that, household salvation fell upon him, because the same Spirit, because it says here, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. Right back in Acts 2, the same encounter happened. The fire fell and these guys got ignited with passion for fire. That was in Cornelius' own garden. He called in his family, his servants, everybody that was connected around his family linkage was there in that house, heard the good news of Jesus that day and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Come on, that's the whole Acts thing. It just keeps on going. Now listen to this. That was like a start, but it actually gets better. John 7 and verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What's going to flow out of you?
Come on. Living water.
Yes.
Rivers.
That's what the Bible says. It's going to flow out of you. Woo. Because you have a supply in you of living water. You are a walking well.
Yes.
For the Holy Spirit. And he actually pours into you so that you can pour out to others. He is watering the seed, that mustard seed that's placed within you, the seed of God, the Spirit of God is being watered by him to actually bring increase onto your life and instruct you in the righteous ways of the Father. This is so powerful, folks, that you get to do more with the Lord. So you have rivers of living water. And then look at the example of Peter in Acts 3:6. Acts is so full of the encounters of God. But mm-hmm. Acts 3:6 is where Peter said to the guy sitting begging the street, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. So he wasn't focused on the guy's monetary needs. He seen past that and he said, I carry a living flow of water inside me. Come you on. Have a seed deposited in your DNA from God Almighty.
Yeah,
and I'm going to water that seed in you and cause you to arise even out of your very sickness.
Yes.
And so he calls the man to arise and to walk. But it's out of their living river of water that flowed out of them. They could have given him money, you know, but they decided, no, let's give him something better. Let's get him up and running. He can earn his own money then. They actually met the need in a far greater and better way. You know, so they didn't hang around. They knew what was in them and they knew how to release it and to bring life and hope and everything else to this man sitting at the roadside. So, there's a principle here. Let's look at it. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return.
Amen.
Now, this isn't a message on giving, but the principle here is,
giving.
You have it already.
Yeah.
The very first word here is the key. Give.
Give it away.
You have it. It's there for a reason and it's there for you to give. So what you have, you cannot hide. You cannot store your little seed and keep it all locked in a nice little hanky and keep it safe. That God did not allow you to have that for you to do that. God gave it to you specifically for growth, for increase, for it to be watered and to come alive and to allow those rivers of living water to flow out of your innermost spirit in your being so that you come alive to your God, so that you actually don't look at life the same way and you actually walk the ways of God with fire, authority, and that you will go and see signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because it says the signs, wonders, and miracles follow those who believe.
Yeah.
Do you believe? I believe wholeheartedly in all this, that the Lord is upon us and is in us and around us for everyone we come into contact with.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to give first and it will be given to you. So there's a principle. If you hold it, you're not getting it back because you haven't released what has already been given to you freely to be given away.
Yeah,
now, Matthew 10:8. This is a key scripture. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Come on, is it? Could it be any more black and white that the Lord is calling us into the harvest? He says he is freely giving us everything that we need to go harvest for him. Okay. He has given us the seed. He has given us the water that's inside of us to flow like a river and come gushing out of us. God is so good. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost beings will flow
living water.
Yes. Rivers of living water. You cannot avoid this. This is key to your Christian walk. This is key that you got to understand that God put things in motion away back in Genesis that we get to walk out right now in these days because of him. And Jesus came, flipped all around and took it to another level and then left us, and we received Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us into the deeper depths of walking out our life here on earth with the Father. So there is power that has been passed on to you. There is an increase that has been passed on to you. There is a life force that's in you. There is a river that's in you that flows forth. And God is interested in you getting to the point where you know who you are in him and you begin to release that life force that you carry. Where do you sow your seed? In your garden. In your garden. It's given to you for your garden. Start planting close at home and get out there and start seeing what God does. You want to go out there because you're so filled of compassion for your neighbors. And if you're not got compassion, maybe you need to start praying and calling in compassion of the Lord. Because he who sows in tears will reap.
Enjoy.
Will reap an abundant harvest. So there's pressing in for the people in our community close by us that we need to push and press into. We need to connect with. I mean, in England, it's so good to live in your house in the street and you may never, ever see or talk to the person two doors away from you in all the years you live there. That needs to stop because community needs to come together. Community is a design of the Lord. We were not designed to hide in our own little castles. We were designed with this message to get out there, to see the harvest that lies around us and start sowing on our doorstep. Not a dough.
Be the light.
Be the light. Let it shine. Don't hide.
Come on.
So every human being is created in God's image.
Come on.
That means that they all have a seed in them and it waits to be harvested by us. Do you have a river of life in you?
Yes. Come on.
If that river comes out of you and connects with someone like Peter did, that guy, the river inside those guys came out and they met the man's need. Not his monetary needs, but they met his physical needs and they totally transformed his life. Let that river of life that's in you, that's been you've been blessed with, let it flow out of you. Let it touch others right beside you. They carry the seed. They are a son or a daughter of the living God that we have connected with. We have his seed now. They just don't have it energized yet. But if I am a carrier of the Spirit of the living God and I have a geyser and an overflow that's bubbling inside of me to get out, well, then I say, let's get it out. Let's spray on the person that we're in contact with. Let's leak water over them because their seed needs energized by the water of the Spirit that's in you. You've been given it to give it to others. So let's go out there and let's win souls for Jesus because it's as easy as that. You have a life force, a life flow in you, a water flow that if it hits the other person and they're in your vicinity, they're in your arena, then if you connect with them and you allow your water to be upon them, their seed will get activated and they will come into the harvest.
Yes.
They will be a one that is reaped for the harvest.
Yes.
And the Lord says, this is it. This is what you want to do.
Come on. This is
why you're alive. This is the harvest field is white on to harvest.
Come on.
And it's white on to harvest because we haven't realized what is out there and what we can gain by going out there and leaking out of us what is in us for that harvest. The seed in you, energize it. Allow the Holy Spirit to water and to set you on fire so that you become this mighty woman, a mighty warrior of a man in the kingdom of God that goes out there for your king. But go in the confidence that you know that every step you take, the Lord has backing it with his plan, his game plan, that has always been for increase, has always been for harvest of souls, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. So our duty, our call, is to rise to the call and get equipped, allow that flow to come out of us of the Holy Spirit, and to go after the seed in others, that harvest seed. Go water, go get it to flourish, and bring it into the kingdom in Jesus' name.
God's given me a vision, can I share it?
Yeah.
So just as Andy's speaking, the Lord's just given me a vision right now. And what I'm seeing is a garden that's been planted and it's all like seeded. So there's grass seed, there's vegetable seed, there's fruit tree seed, and they're all planted. But the ground is like really dry. And then there's this hose pipe that's coming out and it's trickling to where the fruit trees are. So those fruit trees seeds are being watered, and I see those seeds being activated, and I see this little shoot coming out and these roots going down. Mom. But all the other seeds are lying dormant and they're not being touched. And I see the Lord coming with like a spike instrument thing, and he's like puncturing the hose pipe all the way up. And as he punctures it, all these holes, the water comes out of all these different avenues of this hose pipe. So the grass is being watered, the vegetables are being watered, the flowers are being watered, the fruit trees are being watered, the whole garden is being watered by the water from this one hose that can only do one thing. And the Lord is saying today that the church is like this hose pipe that has all these punctures in it, these specific holes in it, and he wants it to flow in all its diversity over all the different areas of your influence. You have influence that I don't have. I have influence that you don't have. And the Lord is calling you to turn on your tap today and release the water that he has put within you. Yeah. So that the area that you get to water, the area of righteousness that you get to plant into, will come to life and be activated. And as this water comes out of the hose, I just see the seeds of the lettuce and the cabbages and the geraniums and the fruit trees. And they're all beginning to grow together. And there comes this abundant harvest.
Yeah, come on.
This abundant harvest. And then I see the reapers coming in and they're gathering the fruit and they're gathering the vegetables and they're keeping everything in order. And then I see the seed falling again. And this, the hose watering again and the seed beginning to multiply again. And I just feel like the Lord is saying to you today that you have such a wealth of water, of that river of life that's flowing from you to open the eyes of the blind, set the captives free. But unless you let it leak out, like Andy was saying, unless you let it leak out, you know, your hole's going to be blocked unless you choose to open it. And we just declare today over you, wherever you're watching from, we just declare that well be uncapped and that water to start to flow, that you would be one that releases this seed in the community around you, and the seed in the family around you, in the seed in the town around you, that would then affect the seed that is that you're touching, that would then grow more seed that would affect their communities and their families. I'm just seeing this harvest right now just because you unlock the well cap of your life and join in the hose water, this flooding. Let's flood our communities. Let's flood our nation with the waters of life that flow from the Holy Spirit within us. That's what I'm seeing.
Analogy. I like that. You know, because we all love a good water fight, don't we? When we're outside with a hose gun or the water guns. You know, we don't like it when we first get hit.
Yeah.
But when you're hit enough, you just don't care anymore, and the joy gets released, and you just become bubbly yourself and go spray everybody else as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole scenario of enjoying what you're releasing because God has given it to you for a reason.
But when it's hot, you like to be watered.
Yes.
And God is turning up the heat right now. He's putting pressure on. He's turning up the heat. He's bringing the increase. And we need to be ready to partner with that in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Now, let me take us, just I'm finishing off here. I want to take you to the example of Elijah at Mount Carmel. What happened there was the demonstration of power, the power battle between the gods of Baal and all his servants, all his prophetic people, and Elijah on the top of this mountain. They do this standoff, this challenge, and you know. So the thing was, it was the that there, whoever God would win would actually bring fire down and actually ignite the sacrifice on top of the actual altar, you know. So. So they're trying all their, and then once they haven't done it, Elijah says, now it's my turn. And so what does he do? He takes, in a season of extreme drought, he takes a very valuable commodity, water.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sign, he pours it all over his sacrifice, not once, not twice, but 3 to 4 times. He saturates, because it has a trench around the outside of it that held water in it. So he wasted, as people in that day would have thought, a lot of water on soaking his sacrifice. But Elijah knew that God was about to ignite fire, even though it's drenched in water. When God moves, there is nothing that stands in his way. Even the water couldn't stop the fire of God from igniting the sacrifice on Elijah's altar to the Lord, to actually verify him, to exalt him, and to raise him up in the whole of the nation. Now, the thing about him using water was, what did they need at that time? So Elijah's faith said, I will sacrifice what I've got because I'm calling in what I haven't.
Yeah, come on.
He used water to change the nation's destiny,
mm-hmm.
and allow the water to open the heavens. His faith hit heaven,
mm-hmm.
and it caused a shift and a turn. And he had to send his servant out to actually watch for the cloud. Do you see a cloud? Do you see a cloud?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see your cloud over your own circumstances today? Because the Lord wants to shift what has been holding you back, wants to actually take you into a new dimension with him. And this next season of your life, don't you want it to be glorious? Don't you want it to be excitement? You don't want to do the mundane life Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. You want to be doing 9 to 5, but allowing that spirit of the living God that's in you to flow out of you. And then it becomes exciting, because your workplace is no longer a drudge, but your workplace is a field of harvest that you get to sow into and you get to reap. Come on, folks, this is the life you've been waiting for. You know, the Lord promises abundant life. Abundant life comes when you operate in the wisdom of the Lord, in his righteous ways, and you do what he has instructed us to do. That brings life, that brings joy, that brings peace, and that brings a righteous way to your life that you walk out before your King. There is a reward in heaven for you when you actually win souls. Proverbs says, he who wins souls is wise.
Yes.
So you want to be wise in your life today. You want to sow into your future, sow into your eternal future by winning souls. Now, this is not, I'm not saying you need to get out there and you need to force this. No, it's not about force. It's about allowing the deposit of the Holy Spirit in you, the availability to come out of you, to listen to him, to hear him speak, to hear his voice guide you to the right neighbor at the right time. Because your harvest has to be in good ground that the Lord has already prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's him that gives seed for the sower. It's him that will cause the increase. So we need to be listening to him. To where are you causing the increase today, Lord? Am I going to tune in to your kingdom? Am I going to be a kingdom soul winner today? And am I going to actually walk out what the Spirit of the Lord in me is instructing me to do?
Amen.
That's where you want to be. You want to be plugged into the power source of heaven.
Yes.
It's been given to us.
Yes.
It's in us, and it's in us for the lost. It's in us for the harvest.
Yes.
So we need to tap into the glory realm. We need to tap into the heavenly realms of the Holy Spirit and actually activate that seed within us that we go bear fruit. Elijah did it. He had great faith to believe that if he had this battlefront and he won the battle, that he would be calling in the rain to come and fall upon the land again. You know, so faith uses what is limited supply and brings a multiplication from it. You know, so you want a multiplication, you got to learn the principles of the seed, that you water the seed. The seed must go into the ground, the seed must die, you must die, I must die, so we come back out again as what the Lord designed us to be. What's in us is the seed of life. Amen. And we get this inner river of living water to go and bless others, to allow them to experience God, to allow them to experience healing. Mm. I mean, you're actually given the instruction to heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you have been given, freely give it. You know, you give, and then the increase comes back. But if you don't give, then you don't aren't even thinking of increase. You're actually just thinking of, well, I'm holding this. I'll hold this until Jesus comes back. You know, but you forget that, because the Lord rebuked the servants, and the one that actually hid his talent in the ground, the owner rebuked him for not even at least putting it in the bank and getting some interest on it. So God, again, is in the business of growth, of increase. He has given you all you need in your hands to actually have this and to see it work. And I'm telling you, folks, that once you see the first person that you lead to the Lord, you will get hungry to find the next person. And you will get hungry to teach that person and to sow into their lives so that they go do what you've just done. That is multiplication of the heavenly kind. And God's hand is on it, because he said he gives seed to the sower. He provides all we need. All we need to do is say yes in our heart and go after the harvest. The harvest is there. Everything we need is here. It's in us. It's in Sharon. It's in Mum. We have it all at our hands. It's in all of you this morning. You have the same blessing, the same anointing, the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead is in you, it's in me.
Amen.
You know, so all it's stopping is the yes in our heart, the ability to rise up and believe. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to believe that mountain that you see in front of you, that mountain of fear that holds you back and makes you hide, you got to believe that mountain will go the minute you speak to it in faith. I command you, mountain of fear, I command you, mountain Jesus. Of fear of man, be Jesus. Gone in Jesus' name, that you go out of Jesus. Your life right now and you never return, and that Jesus. The freedom that the Lord has granted you through his death, resurrection and life comes upon you. That abundant life comes upon you right now as we're speaking in Jesus' name, right where you're seated, right where you're watching this broadcast right now.
Yeah,
and the Spirit of the living God, that deposit of seed that is in you, right back from God's plan in Genesis, then right now I command that seed to ignite. I command that seed to break forth. I command the water of the Holy Spirit to pour upon you right now, just like you did in Acts 2, Lord, that you come with fire, that you come and burn up the water and burn up the seed, Lord, and let it die so that it germinates and it produces fruit, that it becomes the seed of mustard, becomes the biggest tree in the garden. Why? Because it accepted what was in it and knew its future and knew it would grow, become big and become a provider for other animals, and would seed out and plant again. So that is who you are. So right now, hold your hands out. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, I just command the blessing and the awakening in your spirit to come right now in Jesus' name, that you are a citizen of heaven, in the design plan of heaven, that you have been created for this season, that the harvest season was always for us. So we say, Lord, let us be part of it. Show us. You're the provider of seed. You're the sower, and you're the one that brings the increase. So, Holy Spirit, we say, go after the lost, and let us be part with you in the harvest field. So we go and we reap the harvest, and we bring those sheaves back into the kingdom of God. Not with all weeping, Lord, but with glory and joy, and maybe some weeping because we've been so moved that God has thought enough of us to use us to win someone for him. And so you want to actually be so full of God that it's just bubbling out of you. You just can't help yourself. You're just so expressive about him. And you see someone that's sick, you want to just say, offer them the chance to have hands laid on them and to pray and command that sickness to be broken off their life right now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of you are out there right now and you've got pains and aches in your body, and there's stuff going on in your physical body that you've just nearly accepted. And I say, no, in Jesus' name, I command healing to flow right now from your head to your toes, right over your whole body, that you come alive, that the Spirit of the Lord so hits you that you have pins and needles all down your arms and legs, and that your whole physical body starts to tremor and shake, just as it did when the outpouring fell in Acts 2. If you have never experienced this, then you need to seek first his kingdom. You need to get yourself aside with Jesus. You need need to lock yourself away. You need to talk to him. Say, Lord, I want what they are talking about. I need what they're talking about. I have never felt power from you, Lord. I have never experienced what it's like to speak in tongues. And so you get yourself with Jesus right now and claim that Holy Spirit power that's deposited in you to be awakened, and allow the Father to have time with you, to sow into you, and for you to be silent enough to hear his voice, and allow the unction of the Holy Spirit just to break out of you and to shatter your life as you've known it, and take you and lead you into the kingdom life for kingdom reality and kingdom harvest in this next season. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Just want to share a story of how we were challenged personally. I remember in the church that we were in when we just started off in ministry, we were doing street evangelism with a church, and we were young, we had two very little kiddies, but we knew that the Word of God said that if we go, that signs, wonders, and miracles would follow us. So we really did step out in faith, and we just prayed, whether we saw anything happen or not, we just kept praying for people until we began to see healings start to come.
Yeah.
And you got to press in through the hard times and the disappointments to receive the rewards. You know, you got to do the training to run the race. You got to do the training to get to the end.
Yeah.
But I remember one evening we had what they call a presbytery in our church. And they had these two guys over from America, these two prophet guys. And they were calling up people individually and prophesying over them. And they called us up together as a couple. And they prophesied over us, and it transformed our lives, literally transformed our lives.
Yeah, it did.
But I remember when it came to Andy, and they said, you know, man of God, the spirit of prophecy is upon you right now, and you shall prophesy.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I give a prophetic word on Friday night. This is.
And that was your first word.
That was my first word
public
in a long
word.
While. And I just thought, oh, I've already given it. I've got nothing. And
I could feel him shaking beside me, like trying to curl away and crawl under the table.
Yeah. But he had declared it, and he wasn't letting go.
No.
And so he says, right, church, we're all going to pray in tongues for a minute. And when we stop, brother here is going to prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my mind was just racing, thinking, God, I give on Friday night. I've got nothing. I can't give from nothing.
And I was praying in tongues like crazy, saying, oh, God, please help. Just swallow us up right now.
And they,
you know,
they stopped. And he says, right, brother, go for it.
And nothing.
I sat there. It felt like 5 minutes. I'm sure it was probably only a minute. But he said, you know the only difference between you and me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not chicken-hearted.
Yep.
And I burst out laughing.
Yep.
And out of that laughing released that feeling of, mm-hmm, I have nothing to give.
Yeah.
And he says, right, church, we're going again. Let's pray in tongues. Prayed in tongues. And when they finished, I
prophesied.
Just like that. And it was like the activation that he knew he needed to do. Mm-hmm. That was a mountain in front of me. Fear was gripping me, and it was shutting my ability to hear the Holy Spirit and locking me down. But when he got me to laugh, something shifted, something broke, that mountain was gone. And when they had finished praying, I prophesied the word of the Lord. So there's activation that I believe is coming to you guys in this season that's going to be just so significant to your life. But you got to understand that God is so on you for yourself. He's so on you for others, you know, and it's his plan, it's his purposes, and we just get the gift of walking with him in this next season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a hard season. It's not this is not designed to be a hard line activation. This is not designed to be something that you actually struggle to do. It's actually a gift that's in you that God gave you. So God knows your fears. God knows what you're up against. But God's cheering you on. And so is the host that has gone before us, cheering us on, saying, come on, guys, you've got it. You can do it. I wish I was down there again now, because I would do things differently. Don't ever get to heaven and wish that you'd done things differently. Change now. Do it now and get yourself activated with the Holy Spirit and allow that river that's in you to bubble up and come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen.
So if you're ever part of our on-the-ground church, we do push people out of their comfort zones. Don't we, Mary, Nandri?
We don't allow you to sit there with a nice little comfy duvet around you and say, oh, it's okay.
We push people because we know what it was like to be pushed. And actually, we wouldn't be where we are today if someone didn't believe in us and encourage us by pushing us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so we believe very much in training and equipping, but training and equipping in knowledge is only one aspect of growing and letting that seed in you grow. The other side of that is activating that seed. Is it scary to approach someone, to talk to them or try to pray with them?
Of course
yes, it is. Do we still get nervous?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Do we still not want to be rejected? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's a human thing to want to protect you. But actually, there's something mighty in you, that well, that river of life in you, that knowledge of God in you, the testimony of God in you that the Lord wants to release through you.
Yeah.
So push out of the boat.
Test the
waters.
Push
out and try little bit by little bit, one little step at a time, you know, just speak to someone or pray for someone. And just see how the Lord begins to use you and get you excited about being a well in his kingdom. By unplug that hole in the hose and let the Spirit of God flow out of you and let him take control. You know, he doesn't say be strong and do it when you're strong. He said, when you're weak, I am strong. When you're weak, I am strong. So let his strength come through. In the name of Jesus.
Or go wild and crazy like Peter and jump out of the boat and start walking towards Jesus on the water.
You learn to be crazy.
Yeah.
You learn to be crazy. You know, it's not crazy as in mad, but it's adventurous and wild. And actually, we're made to be bold. We're made to be bold. And we're made to conquer kingdoms, nations, communities. We're made to win souls. You don't win something unless you have to fight for it.
Yep.
So we have to win things, and we're going to win the souls for this harvest in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that each of us, God, is a well, Lord, being uncapped. We thank you, Father, for the wealth of a seed, God, that you have planted within us, Lord, that is going to bring forth a harvest that will again produce more seed to produce more harvest.
Come on.
We thank you, Lord, in these days, God, that the harvest field is white and ready and ripe. And God, we declare today, Lord, that we would be winners of souls. Put your hand in your heart and say, I am a winner of souls.
I am a winner of souls.
I am a well that is uncapped.
I am a well that is uncapped.
And I am going to leak into my family.
And I'm going to leak into my family.
I'm going to leak into my village and town.
I'm going to leak into my village and town.
Into my community and into my nation.
Into my community and nation.
And see a harvest.
And see a harvest.
Produced from my life.
Produced from my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.